family worship experience international, a place of worship, word, and intimacy. Join us as we take a walk into the life-changing word of God with Apostle Jonathan Shekonya.
Tell you why. Thank you. Friday was worship summit. How many of you were blessed? All right. The Lord did mighty things, mind-blowing things. There were impartations, souls were saved, amazing demonstration of grace, and most of the people that came around left with encounters and experiences. And for the first time around this house, we had closely 2,000 people in this place. It was an amazing experience. And this was an all-night program. But people came, even those outside were so participating as though they were inside. Hallelujah. I really wanted us to have taken our time that Friday to close the meeting with a dance, but because of the time and other, we could not do. You know me, I will teach, right? But if you might not get to teach, even if it's just a 7-minute praise, but God should be in throne tonight. Is that fine? Let's just honor Him through our praise. And I don't think I'm the best person to lead this praise, because amen. honest, I mean, instead of my voice, we've been preaching right from last week Wednesday. Even this morning, we're at the orientation camp, Kubwa, NYC, right? We were there this morning with the corpus. We just returned, and then I'm trusting God for the grace to even preach. But I know I'm still going to preach. We're going to give God praise, and then we'll teach briefly, and then go to rest. I know a lot of you have not even slept. Some of you have slept. It's just that it's not sufficient. You need like 3 days to recover. Some of you are like that. You need like 3 days to recover from one all night. 3 days. So you will sleep the prayer.
Yeah. A shout of praise. Come on, one more time and shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We give you all the glory. We return all the honor to you. Your name alone and alone and alone and alone we praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you lift your hands to the heavens and bless him, give him praise for the amazing things he's doing around this house, doing around your life. Give him praise. Bless him. Baradabako sabaratila. Barante libras kibako shabateka. Labaraba baye. Shabakabarato bakas kibaratila. Oh, we love you. Oh, we love you. Oh, we love you. How we give you praise. How we love you in this house tonight. Blessed be the Rabakaba Shabarata Balateka. We thank you. We adore you. In Jesus' mighty name. You've been faithful, Lord, from the ages past. That is why your name is forever. You've been faithful, Lord, from the ages past.
From the ages
past. That is why your name.
That is why
your name. That is why your name
is forever.
So by time you've been faithful, God.
You've been faithful,
God. Yeah. That is why your name.
That is why your name
is forevermore.
Is forever.
You've been faithful,
Jesus.
You've been faithful, God. That is why your name.
Forevermore.
Hallelujah. Please can you be seated in God's presence if you can. You're all welcome to church in Jesus' name. I want to teach on something very simple and powerful this evening, and then we trust God, hopefully, if the Lord permits, we start our series on the anointing next week. But let me just teach on something the Lord laid in my heart to just share with you. John 14. Spirit of the ancient God, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of a living one. Spirit of the ancient one, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of a living one. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the light of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory Let the weight of your glory fall. John 14. Let's start from verse 1. Our place of interest will be verse 6. But let's just read through from verse 1. Jesus, the way. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, believe in God. So, if you are not scared from this scripture, your fearlessness has a source. It should be traced to a level of dependence on God. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, believe in God. In other words, trust in God. When this is absent, there is no way you will be void of fear. Our world has been configured to continually, perpetually keep men in fear. From the news you listen to the stories you read, we are always under pressure to be under fear. So he said, believe in God. Believe also in me. Then the next verse, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Perfect sound, thank you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye might be also. You know, people have interpreted that scripture to mean Jesus went to prepare a place. No, that scripture means the place is already prepared. Huh? No, if you truly went to school, that verse means the place is already prepared. Then he said, if it were not so that the place is already prepared, I would have told you my going was to prepare a place. However, the place has already been prepared. Before my coming, the place was prepared. So the return of Jesus was not even to go and prepare a place. The place has long been prepared. Hallelujah. God is a very organized God. Before he starts a thing, he has finished it already. That's his system of work. Before he starts building your life, he has finished it. And that's why when God is speaking to you, he doesn't speak to you as though you were a human being. He talks to you as if he's talking to a God. And he expects you to understand his communication. For instance, Moses, go and rescue the children of Israel. He didn't make it look like they were going to be challenges. Just go. Just move. For many of you, he will just talk to you and tell you you're a great man. But you know right now, your reality doesn't reflect that. Is that it? He speaks to you that way. Let's continue with our scripture reading. And whither I go, ye know. This was the scripture that brought about our discussion. Jesus made a statement. He said, where I am going, you know. And then the way that leads to where I'm going, you also know. And look at what Thomas said. He said, Lord, don't lie on us. In other words, why are you lying? Why are you lying on us? We don't know. In fact, number one, we don't know where you're going. Number two, we don't even know the way. Jesus said, where I'm going, you know. Even the way that leads there, you also know. And Thomas said, no, please, we are not children. We know what we know. Whatever we know, we are where we know it. Now you are saying we know the way and we know where you're going. We don't know. We don't know. And then look at our place of interest. Verse 6. Everybody want to read. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Stop there for a while. I am the way. Thomas, don't you know me? I'm sure you would have been there looking so stupid. I told you earlier you know the way and you know where I'm going. And you say, no, don't talk like that. We don't know where you're going. And Jesus now say, I am the way, number one, the truth and the life. Then he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Let me talk to you briefly on Jesus the way. Then you can bracket the truth and the life. But Jesus the way. Let's just shorten it. There are multifaceted dimensions in God. That when you begin to walk with the Lord, there are many things that will be unraveled, many things you will find out on your way. You will begin to come into so many understandings, come into so many knowing. And then, like you've always known, we've taught on the multifaceted oppressions of the Holy Spirit. Even the oppressions of the life of Christ to have dimension. He mentioned at least three here. He said, Jesus has the dimension of him that is the way. Is that it? And there is another dimension of him that is what? the truth. There is another dimension of him that is what? The life. I want to talk about these three things, and I really want you to pay attention. Really pay attention. When he talks about him being the way, he talks about access to the Father. He talks about access to the Father. Then he said, whoever will come to the Father must have to route it through the Son. And hope you know that every religion is attempting to communicate to God. Every religion claims they are relating to God. Every religion claims they are also connected to God, except that they are trying to connect to him through other means that is not Jesus. And for you to truly be able to reach the Father, the root has to be Jesus. Is that very true? He said, I am the way. To be very honest, our father defined religion to be man's confusion. A big man's attempt in his confusion trying to find God. Something like that. That man in his confusion attempting to find God. That's what religion is. And hope you know that Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of life. However, other religions around the world are still attempting to find God. Except that they are attempting to find him through various means. Others use the moon. Others use stars. Others use their legendaries, people who died and then were mighty men. For instance, Shongo. All of those things you watch in Nigerian film and then people hold on to. All of those things were deities, men who were so powerful, gave themselves names on account of the exploit they did. And men are holding on to them as their gods and all of this kind of thing. But that for you to truly be able to see the Father, you must take that route, Jesus. I am the way, access to the Father. It has to be through me. Try to look for me through your pastor, you won't find me. He's only a man that points to Jesus. Jesus is truly the way to the Father. Try to look for him through any other means, books and knowledge here and there, you will not find him. The true way to the Father has to be the Son. And now the question is, how do I even find the way? How? Because this is talking about the salvation experience. For a lot of us here, you are already born again. And for the few of us who are not, we will give you an opportunity later. But listen carefully. He talked about the way, and that talking about the salvation experience. Coming into the kingdom, becoming born again. As soon as you are born again, you found a way. The question now is, how do I get born again? Let me teach you this, because a lot of you might have to lead people to Christ here and there. Let me show you the formula for salvation. Romans 10. No matter how great you want to be in this kingdom, no matter how wealthy you want to be in this kingdom, no matter how influential you want to be in this kingdom, the starting point has to be salvation. The starting point is salvation. You can never bypass it. You are not born again, then you want to pray in tongues. You are not born again, but you want to be anointed. You are not born again, but you want to be wealthy. It's not true. So long as what you want to be is within the confines of the kingdom of God, salvation is the doorway. Is that true? Always the doorway. It is so powerful that no matter how great you are outside, listen carefully. This thing might sound very simple, but you will need it. No matter how powerful you are in the world system, as soon as you come and you want to subscribe to the government or the sacrifice of Christ, there is always a pathway. Somebody will have to lead you to Christ. Is that very true? No matter how small the person is, the person will come and, all right, come. You really want to be born again? Oh, yeah, say this after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. He's trying to lead you into that door. We know you were powerful out there. We know you were influential out there. But as soon as you step into this kingdom, you must route it through that means. You have to. Romans 10, from verse 1 to 3, then we jump to verse 9. Let's just take a reading. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God is for Israel is that they might be saved. I really long that Israel be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. These guys are zealous, but they are not saved. They are zealous, but they are not born again. That you are coming to church does not even mean you are born again. Hope you are aware. There are people that can keep coming. Altar call is being made. The Holy Spirit is touching their heart and convicting them. Go out. And they will just stand there. I refuse to go out. These guys are zealous but not born again. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And we all know that Jesus is the righteousness of God. Is that it? He is. So they are busy around the body trying to find God through different means. Attempting to look for him through their works, through their energy and various means, and neglecting the righteousness of God. And it's an error. Now watch this. This is the formula for salvation. That if you really want to be born again, as we go through this now, for many of you, sit down quietly and be re-examined whether you are truly born again or not. If you are not, when we do the altar call, unashamedly, just come and say, Lord Jesus, you know I've been confused about all of these things. Today, we decide this once and for all. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe where? In thy heart, that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Period. Period. This is the formula for salvation. Number one, you must believe with your heart that Jesus came in the flesh, was given birth to by a virgin, conceived of a virgin by the Spirit, was given birth to, lived on earth, then died, was crucified, buried. If you believe that Jesus died by machete, or you believe Jesus died by accident, you are not born again. If you believe that somebody poisoned Jesus and he died to bring our salvation, you are not born again. If you believe that Jesus died by taking sniper, you know, there are all kinds of things. We have to make this clear. That is the way he died. He didn't just die carelessly. Or you think Jesus died, slept one night and didn't wake up. You are joking. You are not yet born again. Jesus came, was beaten, hanged on the tree, was buried, and then on the third day, not after 3 days. Because some always think he came back to life after, no, not after 3 days. On the third day, he was resurrected and he ascended up to the Father, and that right now he's seated on the right hand of the Father. If you don't believe this, you are not born again. All the things I've mentioned now, if you don't believe it, you are not born again. This is the criteria for being really, really saved. So as I talk now, begin to reconsider, am I truly born again? So you will believe with your heart and then confess with your mouth. As soon as this equation is made, you are born again. You are. You are. Let me tell you how they used to get people born again then. You know, the issue of Lord Jesus coming to my heart, I accept you as my Savior, and all of those things will decide. Listen carefully. I thank you. If you hold this light, I'll be happy. Not the general light, just this one. Hallelujah. Please give them time. Let's just ensure this is fixed. Alright, let's be together. I'm now seeing your faces. This light was making you see me, but I was not seeing you. So anytime I come to preach, you can on these ones. But for this one, let's help ourselves. Amen. Where was I? The issue of Lord Jesus coming to my heart, right? Alright, listen. Back then, to get people born again, all you do is that you will meet Jesus. You will explain to him what Jesus came to do. And then you will ask him, do you believe? All that he was expected to do is, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. That's how they got people born again from the time of Jesus the apostles, right up until the coming of a great man of God called Charles G. Finney. That great man was the one that wrote the Dex Bible. A very great man that could memorize the entire Bible without looking at it. Very terrible. His crusade was so powerful that he didn't need publicity. If there was a crusade in Massacre, let's say for instance, all he needed to do is to send two of his men before the crusade. They will come and pray in this city. The day he's entering, people will be crying and wailing and following him and getting born again. It was a terrible way of reaching out. So he was the one that brought about the issue of let's have a tenant, let's have a way these guys can be born again, so that it's not just yes, let them truly confess it. Then he brought about the issue of Lord Jesus, come into my heart, I believe you died, and it has gone viral. But initially what was just needed is I believe. Someone will explain it to you and ask you, do you believe? And you say, I believe. And as soon as that is done, you are qualified. You are qualified. So whether you recited the poem or the recitation now, or you just said, I believe, you still are born again. You still are born again. Hallelujah. God bless you. I might use it later. So that's the formula for this. My monitor is not working. Media, help us so that we can make progress. That's the formula for salvation. Hallelujah. And you know that everybody has a responsibility of getting people born again. The Bible tells us that whoever turn men into righteousness are like the star. Is that it? So for you to be a star in this kingdom, for you to be a star, you have to be committed to ensuring people are born again. This morning while we were preaching in the NYC camp, I just was looking forward to when I'll make an altar call, because it was exciting me. It was exciting me. As soon as the altar call was made, see intelligent young people coming out unashamedly. It gets me excited when I see people come giving their life to Christ. Tomorrow night is my counseling day. I will be coming in here. I used to pray from home. Oh God, may I not step in and finish counseling and no one person got born again in the office. For me to be like I almost didn't do anything reasonable. Someone should come that has need for this salvation. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. Let's see one more scripture on this and then we'll make progress. So what do we use in getting people born again? What's the tool? 1 Corinthians 1:21. What is the tool used in getting people born again? 1 Corinthians 1:21. Alright, look up. Watch this. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, my place of interest now. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are what? Sorry, to save them that believe. It pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching. So the way I'm teaching now, I'm preaching. He calls it foolishness. It might not even look intelligent to someone, but that's what the pattern, that's the way God have derived to ensure people come into the knowledge of the kingdom. Very powerful. So you have to be committed to teaching people. You have to be committed to getting people born again around your locality, around your environment. Hallelujah. So the journey into the endless possibilities in God starts with knowing that He's the way. It starts with your new birth. It starts with your new birth. I want to be powerful. It starts from here. In case you are here and you are not born again, you should be eagerly waiting for when the altar call will be made. You want to be a great person in this kingdom, it starts here. You have to, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I subscribe to your sacrifice. I cannot do this on my own. That's the beginning of the journey. Number two, he tells us that Jesus is the truth. And I will dwell here a little, because I understand a lot of us are born again, and almost all. But the word truth here talks about access to light. Access to light. He's not just the way, he's also the light. The truth. Jesus the way guarantees your salvation. Listen carefully. But Jesus the truth guarantees your dominion here on earth. Dominion is the product of an understanding. If you truly, there are a lot of people who are born again, but they are truly not living in dominion. They are born again, but sicknesses keep oppressing them. They are born again, but they sleep and see people pressing them. They are born again, but they are still very broke. They are born again, but things are not working around them. They are born again. So many things are still wrong. What could be the issue? Is it that our salvation package was not complete? No, sir. Very complete. very complete, except that your dominion here on earth is not just tied to your salvation, it's tied to your understanding. Say amen. Very powerful. This is exactly the reason why we keep coming to church every week and every week. Otherwise, the day you got born again, you would have just sat at home and then quietly wait for rapture. But to tell you how powerful this is, you have to come to church every day. Why? You have to be subjected to the teaching of the Word of God. It gives you understanding, illumination, and by that, you are able to reign. You are able to rule here on earth. Look at what the Bible says. John 8:32. A very powerful scripture. John 8:32. I just wanted to read us. I mean, to read it together. Everybody want to read. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you. What's this? He didn't say, and you shall be a Christian. He didn't say, and you will go to church. He tied your freedom, dominion, to your knowing. That two of you can be seated close to yourself. You are even friends. But your level of dominion can differ. The disparity in result is not tied to our salvation. No, sir. The disparity in our result is tied to our understanding, our knowing. You will know the truth. And the truth that you know will bring you freedom. So true freedom is a product of an understanding. You honestly are not free until you know something that makes you free. Believe it. You will know the truth. And the truth that you know will set you free. The Bible said in Daniel 11:32, and you will know, for they that do know their God. Is that it? The Bible said they shall be strong and do what? Exploit. All of us are born again, but they that do know, all of us come to family worship, but they that do know, all of us sit in the same hall, but they that do know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploit. I found this out and I realized that in life, the only thing that makes you needed is what you know against the other party. If you have the people around you and you want to be needed, there should be something you know that they don't know. And you will know the truth. Whenever you see that the result is out of place, please tie it to this. There is something not yet, there is an understanding not yet gotten. If you ever see that things are not working around your business, things are not working around your career, things are not working around your academics, there is something you are yet to know. Very important. There is something, there is a level of understanding you are yet to get. The day you step into it, the result become natural. Natural. Hallelujah. You will know the truth. So as soon as you get born again, what you should start craving for is not just power, because this is it now. Right now in this age we live in, because the demonstration of power is almost everywhere. Every meeting you enter, you see power. Everywhere you go, you see power. So to an average believer, as soon as he gets born again, the next thing he's desiring, let me pray with somebody and let the person turn like this. And when the person turn, let him not just turn, let something quack the second leg and let him hit his head on the ground. Then I'll walk around and say, I've always known that if I become a Christian, this thing I'll do it more than these pastors. That there are people, that's their earnest desire. In fact, they could be here. All they desire is not even understanding. I don't want to know anything. Let me just walk in this power. They so love it. But let me tell you something. Even the anointing, how many times do I sound this? Even the anointing works by understanding. I've said this again and again. I'm telling you, even the anointing works by understanding. So sit down. See the prayer Paul the apostle, because we are born again, and most times it makes it look like the word of God is not true. If truly we are born again and we are supposed to enjoy everything that has been provided through salvation, why are we not seeing it? Why is it not happening in our lives? There is a level of understanding, brothers and sisters. There is a level of knowing. There is a level of awareness. And that's why everybody must become a student of the word of God. Brothers and sisters, I mean everybody. Not just when we come for fellowship like this. No, sir. In your home alone, there should be time you open your Bible. For 1 hour, you are seated and saying, Lord, please, you must show me something. Lord, please, open my eyes to something. If all you want to depend on is what we teach every Sunday, brothers and sisters, you don't have all the time to become all that God wants you to be. No, you don't. There should be time you sit down personally. Oh God, let me find access. Access to light, to understanding. I want to know what your word says when it comes to finances. Please show me something. All of this borrowed revelation here and there. You've tried everything you've learned about money. It's not still working. You've tried everything you've learned about the anointing. It's still not working. You've learned everything you know now about prayer from someone and it's not working. Don't you think it's high time to sit down by yourself? Find it out. Oh God, what is called money? What is this thing, money? Why are others living in favor and it looks like me, I don't even know what favor is? Let me find out. Let me find out. This is how men rise. One day you will be there searching. You want to know the key to favor and you will stumble on a scripture that becomes the lifetime testimony. Lifetime testimony. Then you step into a dimension of favor and abundance, and people will look at you and say, how did you enter this dimension? You say, one, there was a day I was just with my Bible and God gave me one light, access to truth. Or you are there and then you are just wondering, Lord, I want to walk in dimensions of grace. And while you are there searching the word of God, all the while you've thought it will only come through prayer, but not so. There are dimensions and possibilities in the spirit that are tied to revelation. Not only tied to prayer, they are tied to insight. And while you are there studying, God will show you a scripture, maybe in Acts of the Apostle, like he showed me once some years back. And all of a sudden, your eyes are open. You step out in the place of prayer, and then you become a wonder. A wonder. That's how it works. Access to light. Access to principles. That is the teaching I will do very soon. The person and principles of Jesus. It won't take 2 weeks. Maybe after the anointing, I will teach on that. The person and the principles of Jesus. Very powerful teaching. You have to subscribe to Christ as principles. He's not just a person. He's also called the Word. Is that it? And hidden and shrouded in the Word of God are principles. So when you accept this person the way, and you don't accept this person the principles, you will be limited. When he comes, you will go to heaven. But here on earth, you will be broke and empty. I'm telling you the truth. This is exactly why a lot of believers are struggling. I'm making it look like the word of God is not true. Because there is something we yet to know. And listen carefully. The enemy has no power over you except the ignorance you permit. Believe it. Lest the devil take advantage of us. He said, let's not be what? Ignorant. Meaning the only advantage he has over us is what you don't know. There are two ways we bind the devil. Prayer and understanding. Believe me, you don't only bind him by prayer. You bind him too by understanding. There is something you understand and the devil stay away from your life. Completely. I know it already that I cannot be oppressed of devils even if I sleep without praying. No, believe it. Even if I sleep without praying, no devil nowhere. I will sleep and sleep and wake up anytime I want to wake up. My prayer at night is not because one devil came and oppressed me. You know there are people like that. Their prayer always triggered by that devil. Maybe when the devil knows that you've not prayed for 2 weeks, say, this guy is too lazy. Let me help him. This is the devil helping you. Let me help this guy. Then they will just come and oppress you, and he will oppress you, and then turning your leg like this. Then wake up. Shaka. You will pray from 2 down to 6 a.m. Emergency prayer. No emergency prayer. Hallelujah. My prayer should not be motivated by a devil. If I want to pray, I pray. I pray because I love the Lord. I pray because I have a relationship with Him. When I don't want to pray, I'm still praying. My understanding keeps working even when my mouth is closed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. My understanding is still at work even when my mouth is shut. When the Bible said pray without ceasing, what he meant was not you should be working out the mean working on the street everywhere. Then when you shake people, shabada, shabada, da 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 da. No, no. There are a lot of us like that. Somebody greets you and say, Lavasha, Lavasha. And you are just there. You like it so. It is fine if that's your revelation. But that there is a dimension of prayer that happens in your conscious mind. While you walk around, your mouth is shut, but you are still in the spirit. The Bible says, walk in the spirit. You see it? That's how it works. That dimension too binds the devil. They know when a scripture has become light and when you are just reciting it as a poem. The devil knows. For God so loved the world that he knows whether you truly know that he loved the world. Or it's just a memory verse you learned in primary 2 and has refused to give your head. Hallelujah. And understanding. Let's look at the prayer Paul prayed for the Ephesians church. These guys just got born again, and look at the prayer he's praying for them. Ephesians 1:16. You know the prayer already. That the eyes of your understanding be opened. Can we have the message? Do you have it? Thank you. Let's use message. You already know it in the King James. Let's just examine it in the message. I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thanks. I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you what? Intelligent. And discerning in knowing him what? Personally. You should know him for yourself, not hearsay. My prayer always has been that you come to a point where your spiritual intelligence has risen to a point of personal encounter. You know him for yourself, not my pastor say, but you have a relationship with him. Powerful. Your eyes focus and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Number one, grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life. As Christians, that is a glorious way. We have been called into a glorious life. And he said, I'm going to show you that when we come to life. Jesus the life. You're going to be amazed. Keep the scripture. You're going to be amazed that there is a glorious life we are called to live. Very glorious. Verse 19. Let's read through 20:21. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust in him. Endless words. I love this one. This issue of you walk small. You say, I'm tired. No way. When you have access to understanding the life of Christ. Endless energy. Boundless strength. Endless energy. And he said, all this energy issues from where? They are outsourced from the Christ. God raised him from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heavens. Endless energies, endless strength. Your eyes must be open to this. There are times you are so tired, when you come back home, all you have to do is to say, Lord, take away this threat. Shambros kabayaka. And you lie down to rest. Take away this threat. Shaka. For instance, myself, the way I've been walking around, if not for this, I'm telling you, I've broken down. One time a friend came to see me, a pastor friend. It was a Thursday, and that was even last year. And you know, last year I was not going out. He came on Thursday, we ran. Okay, in the evening we just took a stroll around, and on Friday we went to meeting in Gefi. On Saturday I had meeting with the head of department or something like that here. He followed around. And then in the evening on Saturday, we ate a very good meal. And he went back to his place. He held his service on Sunday. And on Monday, he broke down. And I called him and said, what's happening? He said, Kai, that stress I went through, I'm not used to it. In my mind, I said, Jesus. I've been preaching from last week, Wednesday. Some days, morning session, evening session. Different messages, morning session, evening session. Came back on Friday, entered the jail, right? Finished vigil. I did not sleep till night. These are guys, when we were going to Cuba today, they were asking me, so what were you doing that you're not sleeping? I hardly sleep in the afternoon. I did not sleep. I was there again like this until night. And the night was not a complete sleep. I was awake by 2 a.m. That's through this morning. Early in the morning, we were on our way to go and preach again. Now I'm here. Tomorrow again. Energy. Endless. It's not cheap, but of course, that is the source of strength. To rise in life, whether you are born again, if you are lazy, you won't rise. I'm telling you this. If you think God's ways are hard, try the devil. When you try him, you will run back and say, Lord Jesus, mercy, let's just try. Let's stay here. If it happens, it happens. A lazy man, the Bible says, so shall your poverty. So shall thy poverty. Meaning to every laziness, there is an allocated poverty. That's what the Bible says. That for a lazy man, so shall your poverty come. Meaning it's your own. It's not like, it's your poverty for being lazy. Jesus, the truth, principles, access to light. Dominion is only possible when light has come. And he met two great lights. One to rule. The greater light by night and the lesser light by okay, the greater light by day and then the lesser by night. He met two great light to rule. For you to really reign, dominate and rule, there must be access to light. Arise, shine. Why? Light has come. Light has come. Understanding has come. A knowing has come. Jesus, the light. You know, I heard a story that really blessed me and I was really smiling and laughing. You won't know how much knowledge costs until you've tried ignorance. Is that true? Somebody went with his expensive car, very expensive car. I know most of these big men that buy cars, Rolls Royce, Lamborghini, like many of us plan to buy in years to come, right? Or very soon, not years to come, very soon. Very soon. A young man had a very expensive car. And he went to repair the car because the car had a little fault. He wasted a lot of money. He was not working here and there. So he took it to an expert. And the guy told him the bill was $10,000. And he said, no problem. Please, I just want my car fixed. And the man went within 5 minutes. Fixed it. And he came and said, your car is ready. Car ready. He went and started the car very sound and ready. And he said, how many minutes did it take? 5 minutes, $10,000? It's too much. Why will you work for 5 minutes and you are receiving $10,000? Guess what the answer of the man was? $9,995 for understanding, $5 for the work. Think about this. I heard it. I was excited. I said, I like this. You see why people, certain people can sit down, they are sleeping, money keep entering their account. What is playing out at that point is understanding. Understanding. You are angry, they pay your boss more than you. You are the one doing the real hard labor, and your boss sit and cross his legs, he's enjoying AC. You even enter his office and he's snoring, and then they still pay him more than you. Say, this guy is lazy and they are paying him more. No, something is working up here. $9,995 for understanding, knowledge. $5 for fixing the work. So the greater work was finding out what the fault is and having the ability to fix it. You see it? The $5 was the physical work. That when you are able to access understanding, people will pay you to access it from you. It's simple. Jesus the light. Let's go into this. I love this. And then we'll pray. He was not talking about the animal life, bios or something like that. He was not talking about animal life. Because the people he was talking to were already alive. Is that it? So he wouldn't have been talking about the ordinary, normal animal life. He was talking about something superior. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? That whosoever believed in him should not perish but have what? Everybody call it what? Everlasting life. Alright, listen. Let me teach briefly here before we proceed. There is a difference between everlasting life and eternal life. He talked about receiving an everlasting life when you receive Christ. Not eternal life. Everlasting life. Eternal life is life without beginning and without ending. Eternal life. Life without beginning, life without ending. It's not just about the quality of life. Because I know we have always attached it to Zoe, the God's kind of life. Is that true? But that even unbelievers, when they die, they too are going to have longevity of life. You see it now? So the quality of it is only attached to where it is coming from. Otherwise, all of them are attached to longevity. So eternal life talks about life without beginning and life without end. Everlasting life talks about life without end but with beginning. So everlasting life is still eternal life, except that this time around it has a beginning. When does it begin? The day you give your life to Christ. As soon as you come into Christ, you have begun that everlasting life. It is still eternal life. All of them are the same, except that one does not have beginning and does not have an ending, and one has the beginning but does not have. So God is eternal, but men are everlasting. Because you can trust the day you gave your life to Christ. Is that very true? So he said, when you are born again, when you receive Jesus, what you receive is everlasting life, not eternal life. Everlasting life. Of course, it has the attribute of eternal life. In its quality, is eternal life. But that there is a day of its commencement. So it makes it everlasting. Not eternal, everlasting. You don't just claim it. This dimension of eternal life, you don't just claim it. That is a knowing that backs you up. Because listen, when you come into Christ and you've received that everlasting life, let me tell you this. You are supposed to live like a god upon the earth. Are you aware? You are supposed to live like spirit upon the earth. Listen to what the Bible says. For as he is, so are we. What makes you become like him? That life you receive. That the day you got born again, you receive something that made you become like him. And I've shared this briefly sometimes, but let me reiterate it with you and then we'll make progress. That the life Jesus gave you, listen carefully, was not the life he lived before his death. The life Jesus gave you, the one we call everlasting life, the quality of it is the one he lived after. Are you following? Because this is really a class. I want you to understand this. Listen, if you understand this thing I'm about to share now, for many of you, you will escape sicknesses. Believe what I'm telling you. You will escape it. I mean, literally escape it. The quality of life Jesus gave you is not the one he lived before his death. No. Because even that life in itself had limitations. But we saw that it was a supernatural life because he lived it at the peak of it. The one he's giving to you is the life he lived after his death. And you know that life he lived after his death, that nothing was a limitation. Is that true? One time they were in a room, the door was locked. Jesus entered the room. And all of them were wondering, you enter this room? We used to know that if you want to enter a house, you have to open it. How did you enter here? It's called eternal life. How did you enter? Supernatural life. And that was the life he handed over to you. When it was time for him to ascend to heaven, he didn't have to do all of this gimmick. He just stood there. While he was talking, he was being lifted, levitated. So if you ask me, when rapture happened, how are we going to go? You watch and see. We will be standing like this and like a joke, you see me lifting and going. It's already a possibility that has been given to us. To even disappear should not be an abnormal thing. Are you aware? Philip and all the apostles understood this reality. One time the Bible said Philip was instructed by the angel to catch up with a man, the centurion eunuch or something like that. And then he caught up with him after teaching him and getting him born again. While they were coming out from the water, what happened to him? The Bible said he disappeared. That was the kind of life Jesus gave them. Supernatural life. It was not the normal life. And look at this. As he is, So are we. When you have that eternal life, this everlasting, you see, there are a lot of things that work by understanding. A lot of things. In fact, in this kingdom, everything works by understanding. For some of you who are smart, you should pay attention to the way I'm talking about this understanding. And you should pray for it and crave to have it. Understanding? Your father. Alright, I know your father is dead, right? My own too is dead, so it's not like don't come and stand here and make it look like I'm not I'm not kind and loving. I'm loving. Let's assume your father died and left 200 million for you somewhere. The guy saying, "Aya." Or when he was about to die, you were the last person sitting by him, and he was telling you, "Son, I have some money, like 200 million in Some of you are laughing already. You will bring him back to life, but you will resurrect him. You must wake up and tell me where that money is. In where? And while he's shouting in, then you will just go. Alright, calm down. Look at these guys. Alright. Or let's now say, you only knew there was money somewhere, but not exactly the location. And maybe while going through his books somewhere, you see him wrote, "This 200 million naira I saved somewhere, I will use it to do this and that and that and that." And now you found out when he's gone, and the location was not added to that story. Although the money can solve all of your family problems, is it truly useful? Can it do anything without you knowing? You don't understand where the money is. You don't know where it is. You only know that it's that money. But where to find it, you don't know. Brother, this guy will still suffer like every other person. Is that true? You only walk around and know that there is money somewhere. I know there is money. If you talk to me, you will be telling you, "See, if not, I don't know where that money is." You will be talking to me like this. I know there is money somewhere. You will talk to me, say, "See, the day I find that money, but all of you are in trouble. I just know my father has one money somewhere. I know. But where that money is, he already knows that that money is his own. But there is a level of understanding that does not make him take possession. This is exactly the life of a lot of believers. I know that in Christ I'm supposed to prosper. I know that in Christ I'm supposed to live a healthy life. I know that in Christ I am indestructible. But there is a level of understanding that makes you take a hold of it. And then it impacts your literal body. Because it flows into your spirit. Your spirit, through understanding, imparts it upon your body. Are you understanding what I'm teaching? It flows into your spirit. And through understanding, your spirit imparts it. For instance, the mystery of divine health. And hope you know that in this kingdom, only children take healing. Healing is his children's bread. For mature men, I wish above all things that you live in. For the mature is health, divine health. For children, what they need. So as soon as you are born again, you are still a child. You are growing. So once a while, you can fall sick. You will eat the bread of healing. Once a while you fall sick, you eat the bread of healing. But God is expecting that there is coming a time, gradually as you keep growing, one day you will step into, by understanding, you will step into a dimension of divine health. Sickness will come again and knock, and there is a fortification by understanding. It cannot enter again, not because you are praying. It cannot enter because there is a fortification by understanding. That even God, he built and sustained the heavens by understanding, not by prayer. This in understanding, man. Hey! God will help us this year. Because for you to really shine, this thing has to be in place. What I'm teaching now. Understanding. So he's aware in Christ. All of these things are his possibility, like we are all aware. But how do I get it? So a man is born again for 10 years, but he's still crying, falling sick and waking up. A man is born again for 20 years, but he's still crying, finances are not working. This one is not working. Almost everything is not working. Let me tell you something. If everything in your life is not working, at some point you'll be discouraged from serving Jesus. No, forget about, I know all of us are spiritual, but that everything is not working. When it comes to money, not working. Marriage, not working. Children, not doing well. Career, not working. Ministry, everything not working. Do you think you're going to be happy all through your life? Lack of result can be frustrating. So pay attention to what I'm teaching. For this young man to lay hold of all that is his, he will have to lay hold first of understanding. Understanding. Stay there for a while because I may use you again. Now watch this. Let me show you two scriptures. John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. This is life eternal. This eternal life is hidden in your knowing, that you will have to know for you to step into the reality of that eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. When you come into Jesus, it's not sufficient. There is a level of knowing that makes you participate, become a partaker of the eternal life. One more scripture on this. The same John 10:28. Same John. And I give unto them eternal life, right? And they shall never what? He did not say, and they might not perish. He said they might never. The word perish both means death and physical deterioration. It will not happen to your health that at any point you are sick. You know, you really might have to be spiritual to believe what I'm saying, that believers were not supposed to be sick. I'm telling you. Have you ever heard at any point that Jesus went to the Nazareth hospital? Or FMC Galilee? Or General Hospital, Bethlehem? And then they said Jesus had one kind of... He didn't understand his chest. It's like ulcer. Let's say after that 40 days, then Jesus now had ulcer for like... So he had to take all the blood tonic and then mix Maltina and milk and then went to Galilee Clinic and then they did prescription. Habba. And all of these things was before his death too. When he died and resurrected, it was a more qualitative life. And he now said, I've given that one to you, that as I am, so you are. There is no difference. The only difference is in my personality, but in the result that you have my result, because we are joint heirs. Joint heirs. If I was not sick and you are in me, don't be sick. Keep that scripture again. If I was not sick, you shouldn't be sick. He said, I give unto them eternal life that they shall never perish. Never be sick. Kai. I'm telling you, but there are some things you know in this Christ, but higher. You will be so excited. People wonder why you are just happy. I'm telling you. Let me give you something quickly and then we'll pray. Hope you know that most of these things written about eternal life was written by one man. One man. You know, we have celebrated Paul so well, and Paul tried. Paul brought accurate revelation about who we are in Christ and the finished work of the law of Jesus, rather. How he translated us from darkness to light and then brought us out of the law. Very powerful. But there was something that even Paul himself didn't quite understood. I will show you now. The mystery of eternal life. This is why Paul himself was beaten so many times. In fact, Paul even died. Believers went and surrounded him and said, oh Lord, you won't die now. You've not finished. And the Bible says, jump back to life. Is that your Bible? The man who wrote about eternal life, they tied stones to him and threw him from the mountaintop. The stones were rolling on him from the mountain. When they came to see whether he was dead, he was still like this looking at them. No, meaning what he was writing about, he knew it. He knew it. Others could talk about it, but they didn't quite know it. This guy walked so close with Jesus that he was called the beloved. Most time when Jesus is sitting down, he was the one that will put his head on the bosom of Jesus and sleep. You know what bosom is? From your chest down, it's called bosom. So Jesus is lying down and resting. He said, Jesus, lie like this. I want to lie like this. No, think about you lie like this. I want to cross like this and put my head on your chest. Let me be hearing your heartbeat. So why, even when Jesus said, this eternal life I've given you, every other person heard it, but he heard it directly from the heart of Christ. He knew what Jesus was talking about. He walked around with this revelation, treasured it so hard. One time they fried him in red oil. I don't know whether red or white oil now. They fried him in oil. They thought the guy was dead. When they brought him out from the oil, he was shaking hands with them. The guy refused to die. Even death was tired of him. Who is this? Who is this? No, you see it? This thing called eternal life, I'm telling you, if you understand this. Eternal life. Life in its quality state. The most qualitative state you can ever imagine. And not just for now. One time they said, this John has refused to die. One more. Let's tie him to a donkey. Let the donkey run with him on gravels here and there. The horse ran with John all around. All around. When they brought John up, no bruises. He was still standing. Tried everything. The guy refused to die. They said, okay, henceforth cannot kill you. Nothing can kill you. You will leave the realm of men. Because if you keep living here, you are not a human being. They carried him and dropped him in the island of Patmos. Instead of dying, he looked for a spiritual table and started writing Revelation. The guy so refused to die. So refused to die. Upon his arrival, look at the first thing he said. And I was in the spirit in the last day. Even in the island, in the spirit on the last day. And I heard a voice behind me saying, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I turned my back to see the one that was talking. And I saw the one that was talking in the midst of the seven candlesticks. He was talking from a realm of revelation. Menorah. Light. 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 You know, I shared with you during the Young Ministers Conference. Till today, nobody can account for the grave of John the Beloved. Right? Researches have been made. And it has been found that even right now, in the same island of Patmos, John the Beloved is still walking around there. Listen carefully. I'm telling you, research have found out that when you go there, there are still spiritual activities that happen around the island of Patmos. And then they began finding out that it's like this man, John the Beloved, didn't die. It's just that he came to a point, he has so understood the mystery of immortality and eternity, that he although still alive, he decided to walk around there. He can see you, you can't see him. He can penetrate the physical realm and the spiritual realm. Brothers and sisters, this is the same quality of life he gave us. Called it the eternal life. His own is eternal because he has no beginning and end. Your own is also eternal, but he gave it a name everlasting because there is a day it began. But that from now, listen, you know, one of the men in our time, one of the men in our age and time that understood this teaching of eternity, of eternal life, is Pastor Chris of Christ Embassy. He so understands it. He so understands it. One time he was sharing how a knife caught his hand. And he looked at it and said, no. In this life, a knife, blood is not even supposed to come out. He sealed it up like this in the name of Jesus. Shabbatatekaya. He so understands it. You criticize him because you see strange things happen through him. But they are sponsored by an understanding. There is something he knows that has sponsored this revelation. He comes and is teaching this thing. It looks simple. We think you can teach it also. That you can teach it does not mean you know it all. There is a level of understanding you get by encounters. Brothers and sisters, he said he is the life. He is the life. And he has given you this life. That when you walk the earth, if at any point you feel your system beginning to malfunction, you speak to it. You speak to it. You decide what happened around your environment. Eternal life. One time Pastor Chris was in a hotel. The hotel was being burnt down. Fire engulfed everywhere. Please help them. Just take it easy. Listen, pay attention. Fire engulfed the hotel. And they were shouting through megaphone and all of those things. Please come out. It was a very large hotel. Come out, because fire everywhere. Come out, fire everywhere. And guess what? He was inside. When he heard fire everywhere, he went to the bedroom, took his bed. Wore his fire is everywhere. Wore his suit and tie. Tidy up. You know, he hardly wear all of these things. Wore his suit and then came out like this with his iPad and everything coming out. When everybody was out since coming out, and they asked him a question, were you not scared of fire? He said, how will I be scared of fire? How will I be scared of fire? How? How? Please help them. How will I be scared of? Have you ever heard fire burning fire? Hiya! It's an understanding. I'm telling you, it's an understanding of this life. It is supernatural. It is supernatural. This is the life that has been given to us in this age. I know we bind devils, but there is so much allocated to binding devils. There is so much tied to your understanding. I'm telling you this. The day you step into one level of understanding, the day you enter that understanding, but there are things you will not have to pray for. They will look for you. I'm telling you, they will look for you. There are dimensions of grace you don't have to pray for. You enter them by an understanding. Shabarada batavalati hayana. Elananananano shabarade atalada. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah receive. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah receive. I release the sound from the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah receive. I release the sound from the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah receive. I release the sound from the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. I want to wrap up now. Lord, give me an understanding. Give me an understanding. I want to know. 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 Listen. 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 Please just remain standing and give me 5 minutes. We'll pray. Remain standing. Listen. One time, a man asked Pastor Chris a question. What do I do to become as anointed as you are? Look at his answer. The answer was almost looking so frustrating. He said, you are already anointed. It's just that there are things you know wrongly. You are already as anointed as myself, but there is something you've learned wrongly. Even your question now is already a reflection of a mindset that is not correct. You are as anointed as myself, but there is a level of understanding you don't have yet. When he enters healing school, the way he heals is as though it's easy. You now meet a sick person and try to do it that way. You will know that your prayer is not sufficient. That is understanding that makes things work. How many of us don't pray? We all know we pray. We all know we pray. We all know we pray. What is it that we don't know? With every humility, I've submitted to study these things and find out. Find out. This supernatural life is being sponsored by understanding. Number two, by the Spirit. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he said he will quicken your mortal what? Quicken your mortal what? Quicken your mortal what? Quicken your mortal what? Listen, not quicken your spirit. No, not quicken. Quicken your bodies. Your bodies. That if you have a dislocation, by that understanding, the spirit can quicken it up. Revitalize your body. Understanding. Understanding. The same spirit that came upon Jesus is the same spirit that is upon our lives. Believe me. Not less in quality, not less in power. The same spirit upon our life. And he said, if that same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal bodies. Meaning I cannot be sick again. When you are living this supernatural life, you are not supposed to be sick. No, you are supposed to live in health. In fact, death should not kill you. No. We are going to pray. I release the sound of the heavens. Sound to creation. I release the sound of the heaven, sound to my sisters, Shekinah receive. I release the sound of the heaven, sound to creation. Listen, there is an urgency in my spirit. In my spirit, it is already impacting my body that makes it impossible for me to fail. I can't fail. I can't fail. No, no, no. Please hold it. Hold it. I'm going to be teaching. Listen, very soon we are starting a series on the anointing. And I'm going to show you something about the anointing. How that the anointing can come on you and it can lift. Listen carefully. The anointing can, it all, there is a dimension of the anointing that comes on you when you stand to preach. Huh? While preaching, when I started the teaching, everybody was calm. Towards the end, people are falling from their chair without laying hands. Two things were involved. The word was coming with power, but there was a dimension of the anointing that kept intensifying as I taught. As I brought the word, the anointing was upon my life. It kept intensifying. After the meeting, that dimension that came can gradually lift again. Listen carefully. But what God desires is that to the degree to which I receive while teaching, when I leave here, I should still carry it around. It's at that point I can see a man sick by the road. Although it's not a miracle service, I will kneel down there and touch his bones, touch his ears, and the ears open. No miracle service, no charging of atmosphere, no worship team, no gospel or playing strings. Naturally happen. Why? Listen, that dimension of life from my spirit has impacted my body. And at that point, Christ in me. Christ in me, Christ in my hands, Christ on my eyes, Christ on my legs, Christ on my head, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ beside me, Christ beneath me. it is quickened by an understanding. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Listen, the first prayer, oh God, open my understanding. Let me understand you and your word. Open my understanding. Open my understanding. Can you lift your voice and pray? Lift your voice and pray. Open my understanding. Open my understanding. Let me understand the dimension of your truth, the dimensions of your truth, the principles of your word. Listen, listen. Listen. Your prayer life will produce more results on the strength of an understanding. And listen, when you start out, it might look like it's not working, but please stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Don't run out. No, stay there. It will have to work. It will have to work. Listen, we're going to pray one more prayer, and it's a very serious prayer. Please listen carefully. Listen, so that you pray with an understanding. Listen. Hope you know that when this guy got born again, please come, come. When this guy got born again, the treasures of heaven were communicated to his spirit, not his soul, and not to his body. It was his spirit that got reconnected back to God. Everything that has adulterated his mind was still there. Salvation did not take away the things he used to know. That's why even when you are born again, you can still remember the person that hurt you some days back. Is that true? Although you are born again, the limitations of your body also can remain. Let me tell you how this works. Listen carefully. Your spirit will have to go through the medium of your soul to impart your body with the realities that were deposited in your spirit. If divine health was supposed to be the package that accompanied your salvation, it is true. It was deposited into your spirit. But your spirit must derive an intelligence in the spirit that can be able, by the agency of understanding, transport that divine health from your spirit dimension to your body. Otherwise, this is why spirits don't die. Are you aware? This is why spirits don't get sick. Are you aware? This is why you cannot injure my spirit. You can injure my flesh, but not my spirit. Because my spirit received that eternal life. But that there is a dimension where your spirit can now impact your body. With that dimension of understanding and knowing, pours it out on your body. As soon as you are able to sustain the level of intelligence that brings out the revelation from your spirit to your body, I'm telling you the truth, even disappearing becomes very cheap. Believe me, praying for the sick and watching them get healed becomes easy. Dispensing the anointing becomes easy. Because this time around, your body is only a slave to your spirit. Your spirit now is using your body as a means of contacting the physical world and doing what should be done. We're going to pray one more prayer. Oh God, let the possibilities in my spirit dominate my flesh. Let the possibilities in my... Many of us know it so much. Let the possibilities in my spirit dominate my flesh. Dominate my flesh. Dominate my flesh. Impart my flesh. I am healthy in my spirit. May I be healthy in my flesh. I am healthy in my spirit. May I be healthy in my flesh. I am healthy in my spirit. May I be worthy in the natural. Thank Jesus. Mighty name we pray. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. I decree and declare in the name of the resurrected Lord that as you are, so are we here on earth. And by reason of that scripture and understanding, I pray and decree that may you begin to live this supernatural life. May you become a full beneficiary of all that salvation brings, of all that the truth of God's word brings, and of all the possibilities hidden in his life. To anyone sick in this place today, I decree that that sickness, that infirmity lives now. Heart condition lives now. Ulcer goes now. Diabetes, arthritis go now. Eye condition go now. Deaf ears be open now. Every blood disease be healed now. Every skin condition be healed now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray for you finally. I decree that may God impart you with the spirit of understanding. May he impart you with the spirit of understanding. A high level of spiritual intelligence be imparted to you. A high level of spiritual intelligence be imparted unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And this will also reflect in everything you lay your hand to do. From your academics to your business to your career to ministry to everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus. This word you receive tonight, I pray that may it produce results in your life. May it produce results in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Lift your hands and bless his name. Give him praise.
For he who has the Son has eternal life. I have the Son, so I have eternal life. For he who has the Son has eternal life. And I have the Son, and I have eternal life. You have the Son, and I know you have eternal life. We have the Son, and we have eternal life.
You are a student in this place. By this teaching tonight, you can never be dull. Either already in school, yet in school, I pray that a level of supernatural intelligence be imparted to your spirit. It is done. It is done. It is done. Please, while everybody remains standing in this holy atmosphere, you know you are here, you are not born again, either inside or at the overflow. We give you an opportunity of a lifetime now. Your life is about to change by making this decision. While I taught, the Holy Spirit was already talking to your heart and telling you you are supposed to respond to this. Please, let's minimize movement, except for ushers and other department, but let's minimize movement. You know you are in that category here. Please, wherever you are, don't wait to be told. You are an intelligent person. Can you run out quickly? I want to pray with you. Run out quickly. Please come. Run out. Don't stay back. The Lord is talking to you to either rededicate your life or come. Please just come.
I have eternal life.
Come close, come close. Just stand at the front.
I have eternal life. For he who has the Son.
People are joining them, join them quickly.
Have eternal life. I have a Son. I have eternal life.
Hallelujah. I know you believe already with your heart, but can you just place your hand on your chest and pray after me? If you are coming, still coming, you will pray the prayer while coming. Just say, dear Jesus, I believe in everything you did for my sake. I believe in your sacrifice. Tonight, I admit that you are my Lord. You are my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. I am born again. I go forward ever with you, never to return back. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I stretch forth my hands. I pray for your sons and daughters. I ask that grace be multiplied upon their lives. Help this lady. Help her. Help her. Help her. Let the grace of God be mighty upon you, be multiplied on you.
May the Lord keep you, preserve you, establish you in this grace. You will love the Lord like never before. Nothing takes you back. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it is well with you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you dearly. Thank you for making the decision. Please, you're going to take this way. This beautiful lady will direct you and they will take you outside. Please just follow. Just follow. Now, listen. This is your first time here. We will just pray with you before we attempt to wrap up. Wherever you are, this is your first time, either inside or out of overflow. Please, can you run out quickly? Let's.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. Keep walking in grace. For additional information, follow us on our Facebook page, Family Worship Experience International, or you could visit us on our Telegram page, Family.